It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave Hyde, you've been getting on me a little bit, like
you're scared. You're the nervous. You're the voice of the nervous fan. I can see you expect to win, but you don't want to hear anybody say, "Well, you're gonna win this game."
It pisses me off when Woody sits in the other room and goes, "We're 20-point favorite, no problem." And I was like, "Really? Okay, yeah, oh, great." And then I text him during the game. All right, how do you feel, 20-point head? Anyway, hey, we bring in Don Bailey Jr., who will be part of the call tomorrow here on Sports Radio 560. DBJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Joseph. How are you?
So are you still that way? So you've seen it up.
You're not nervous.
No. He's seen it up close. He's seen where you're supposed to win and you lose that game, and then all of a sudden that, like, oh, not again. And this friggin' Georgia Tech team, you know they're doing homecoming. They got the Canes coming. They're doing a homecoming. I was the homecoming. When I was at Cal, we were everybody's
homecoming.
You're
looking for edges in this game when you're saying stuff like that, Joe. You're looking. You're making sure.
DBJ,
you're not like that.
How do you feel about, you know, you're going to get Georgia Tech's obvious, they're going to come out and give you everything they've got. What do you think?
Well, I think you're exactly right. They're going to give Miami everything they want. They have the story already laid from last year. I mean, they said that they came to Hard Rock and beat Miami last year. So, you know, that's the foundation for the conversation this week, that it can be done. And I would bet they're getting their quarterback back, and he's the guy that beat Miami last year. So they'll get him believing that he can do it again. But, Joe, listen, if Miami plays Miami football, period, if they don't lose the giveaway takeaway, don't do some stuff that can hurt them drastically, Miami plays Miami football, Miami's going to win the football game. They should win this football game, period. I don't know by one or by 51, but they should win.
Yeah, that's all I care. I just care about W's. I don't care about how pretty they are. I'm done with that and looking at these spreads. It means nothing. So I got to ask you defensively, it's a problem. I don't think it's going away. Like, I know Mario talked, we're going to work on it, but they're giving up a lot of big pass plays. Do you go more zone? You're a little shorthanded. You lose another guy. What do you think they do in pass coverage this week?
Cross their fingers. I mean, they're short. I mean, you know, you've got a situation where Frederick is a true freshman who's not playing like it anymore. And let's be honest, after five or six starts at this time of the year, you probably shouldn't be labeled a freshman anymore, right? You've got enough experience. They're going to have to get some help out of Deonte Hill, who's filled in at nickel, and he can do what he needs to do. And then, you know, Zaquan Patterson, you got to use him. He got a bunch of reps last week and has played in eight games this year. And so you're with 4 weeks left, your secondary is going to rely on two freshmen, and that's not a good sign, right? I mean, nobody wants that, no matter what. You can say how good they're doing, what they're capable of, but that is not really what you think you should be at this point if you're making a run for a championship. And they will keep working on it, and they'll play the game, and I'm sure that, you know, it's going to fall on the shoulders of that defensive line to get pressure on that quarterback and those linebackers to make sure that they don't let that quarterback get out of the pocket.
All right, Don, there's one big difference between this year against Georgia Tech and last year, and that is the number one standing back there at quarterback. Yep. And Joe and I were talking about this earlier. Does Cam Ward having on his way, if this continues, to having the best singular season a Miami football player has had? That covers a lot of territory.
I got to digest that a little bit, Dave. I mean, you're talking.
Come on, you go all the way back to Jim Kelly.
He's thinking about all those guys.
Vinny.
I mean, are you talking at UM or like a
career?
At UM.
No, well, one year. He's playing 1 year. He's not a 1 year wonder, but he is a wonder. But
yeah. I don't know. I mean, Listen,
I can't get you to bite.
Win the national? No, you won't. Oh, you won't win the national championship, and I'll bite.
There you go. Okay, that's fair.
So that's part of
win
it.
Win a national championship, and then how about let's start this? How about win an ACC championship? Something that's never been done.
That's a good point too.
Let's start right with that. So, I mean, you're talking about labeling a guy against five quarterbacks that have won national championships and a couple guys that have won Heisman trophies and a couple guys that are in NFL Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm not so not so quick to proclaim him king of the forest, you know? I mean, I think that he's having a phenomenal year, better than anybody anticipated. And I think his numbers don't even indicate what he has meant to this team and what he has provided to this team and this program and how he carries himself and how he just go his approach to every single snap and every single day of practice. I just he's an amazing young man, but you've got all of November, might be a bunch of December, and well into January before we can really claim somebody to be, you know, king of the castle.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. You've seen all the throws up close on Cam, and my favorite last game was Restrepo for the 66-yarder, that throw in that tight little window where the guy from the inside didn't quite get there in time, and he just makes a perfect throw in between them, and then Restrepo catches it and picks up that final gear, and it's off to the races. You've seen him all year. Do you have a favorite throw or two that kind of sticks out during this season?
Not yet, Joe. I don't have a favorite one, but I can tell you one of my favorite things was Tuesday, I guess it was in practice, Tuesday, Wednesday in practice, whatever day it was, he might have hit 20 in a row. You know, I mean, it's just every day he makes a spectacular throw and there's a spectacular catch at practice. So it's not the Showtime guy that comes up and gets lucky and hits one. This is a consistency in his game that he's always able to make that throw, and he does it at practice. He does it in pads, out of pads, in a scrimmage, not a scrimmage. He's just so consistent, and it's paying off. He's going to make somebody one heck of a quarterback in the National Football League, and I hope he brings home the Heisman Trophy to Miami. That's really what I hope for the young man. For the career that he's had, I'd like to see him snag that trophy.
Don, you happy with number four ranking right now at the first polls come out? And anything jump out at you the way these teams were ranked?
No. You know what, Dave? I'm kind of locked into that old school thinking that, yes, I looked at it. Yep, I'm fine with it right now. But it means nothing if you don't beat Georgia Tech. And it means even less if you lose to Wake Forest. And then you don't finish strong at Syracuse. And you don't it's too premature for me to get excited or get upset that where Miami's ranked. You got to keep winning. I like the way it lays out. I don't necessarily like, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if I guess what was it, Georgia, Texas was lined up to play each other or forecast to play each other, and you get the winner of that game. I mean, how fun is that? You go through a season, you have a great season, and well, here's your playoff. You either get Georgia or Texas. So it's going to be football, college football at its finest when these playoffs begin, and I think it's going to generate a lot of excitement.
Yeah, hey, I do have to ask you about one team. It's kind of cool story. The SMU story, as of right now, you know Miami and SMU would be playing each other, and, of course, they've got three games left, so it's not over yet. But how good is SMU? And, by the way, watching their highlights, it looked like University of Miami a couple years ago because all those guys transferred with the coach there.
Yeah, well, first, Rhett Lashley's done a fantastic job since he arrived there, and he's done a good job of procuring talent that didn't stick at the University of Miami. You know, they've got guys there that have found a spot, and he's been able to get a lot out of them, and it's working. I'm not surprised. You know, SMU was dormant for so long, Joe. They got put on the death penalty in the early 80s, you know, and they just kind of fell off the map, and now they're in a big city that's got a lot of money, and their donors basically wrote the check to fund this deal into the ACC, where they're not getting any of the monies, they're, you know, the like everybody else. So I think they're a great – I think they have a chance to be in a great market, and they could be a very good football team. And I believe that – what would it be, 50 to 51 or 57 to 58 if those two teams play? You know, right? I mean, you look at that, and it would be very exciting. And it's amazing to me that SMU was able to beat Duke, and they turned the darn football over six times.
That's my – That might be the great, you know, you and I talk about stats. That might be the greatest one of all time. SMU turned it over six times and still
I don't know that we've ever seen it. Have you?
The game.
No. I've never seen that.
I've seen it. I've seen the high school games. I've seen some of the really good schools turn it over, but it's just so lopsided in town. Not like that. That was a crazy one for sure. Hey, DBJ, thank you, man. I can't wait.
Guys.
I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow, man.
Me too. It'll be fun. Nice talking to you, Dave. Have a great day, Joe.
See you. Don Bailey Jr. joining us. He'll be with Joe Z on the call tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM. The pregame show begins at, I don't even know when it starts. I'm just making. What time does it start? Pregame show.
4 hours before. So Hollywood's going to be on.
Woody's going to be on at
8 in the morning. Wow. He gets to sleep in.
Wow, Woody.
8 a.m.
Man, 4 hours early on a 12 o'clock game. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Push that button. There you go.
The champs. The champs.
Dan's right? Off his game. He was good. Then he went over to look at something. Anyway,
I'm oblivious to these buttons. And, you know, you put a
push your button, my
keyboard
man.
In front of me.
Push the right button.
I can find the letter W, but, you know, it's good. It'll be fun to talk about the champs. I'm always fascinated by sustained success and how it happens. We haven't had a whole lot of it, have we, in this town lately?
Back-to-backs are hard.
Yes. And back-to-back being in the finals.
Well, we did have a team do it four straight years
ago. Yeah.
The Heat, let's leave that one alone.
That was a decade ago. That was a long time
ago.
No,
I know, but hey, the Panthers, what they're doing, you're right. Second best teams right now. 21 points, 10-3-1, six straight wins, five very impressive wins, went up the Northeast and got three, and then went to Finland, picked up a couple more. And their core is really good, man.
They play a great style, mix of physical, high scoring.
Make it hard, don't they? Make it hard on everybody they play. He's got a style that he plays, and they're all drinking the Kool-Aid. They're
winning. So
winning works.
That helps.
And nobody had more fun in the offseason than they did. And then he said they came in, they're all in great shape. So I was, you know, you hear that. And then last night, Tkachuk gets a goal. Verhaeghe gets a couple of goals. Reinhart got another goal.
Barkov got three assists. Bobrovsky moved up to Grant Fuhr and the all-time wins list.
Just a lot of good stories with this team right now, and they're playing their ass off. They kept their core of players, which is incredible, because I had heard, they're going to lose Verhaeghe. Reinhart's going to want a bunch of – I mean, Reinhart just had this – one of the greatest scoring seasons in the history of the franchise, if not the – I don't know how
Burry had 58.
Yeah, Pavel
was 57.
Yeah, I don't know, but you go through the playoffs, he was into the 60s, and then he has a winning goal. I mean, you can't do any better. He got the winning goal in the game seven. So Reinhart's and we did get a heads up on him from our good friend Ed Jovanovski that he was building a home, so it didn't sound like he was thinking about moving or fixing up a home, and I was like,
Do you want the Canadian winter or to work down here? Anybody who's lived in the cold like I have, and you come to the warm, it's so much nicer.
So I think those guys like their summers in Canada.
Yeah, they're living a good life.
But they love to be down here. Those guys are, it's great. It's a good group. By the way, real easy group to like. They did all that stuff after they won that cup on their own.
best celebration.
Starting at
in
the
South
elbow
Florida.
Room. Start at the elbow room. Apparently, a lot of people found out about it because I know some guys that I'm close to that were there early in the morning, and the elbow room was. Listen, the elbow room ought to be giving out free alcohol to that team because those guys are always, you know, promoting the elbow room. I'll meet you at the elbow room. You ever been in the elbow room?
You know what? I never have. Have you?
Of course. Did some of my best work there early in my early days.
Oh, back.
The elbow room was there my rookie year. That thing's been there forever. The elbow room at the end of the night. The elbow room when somebody was out of town. Whoever I was dating or married to. Elbow room. I mean, it was
but
a
that was the Panthers, you can debate which title was best in South Florida, sport, team. But they had the best celebration of a title that anybody's had because they took it to the people. It was like and day after day. Like real champs, they did it day after day after day.
They took it down Los Olas. Bo educated me on this because they literally were in his place one day. Then he got a call. Like, hey, did you know they were coming? He goes, I didn't have any idea. He was trying to get up there, and they were already gone by the time. They went store by store in Los Olas, in downtown Los Olas, where they got all those restaurants and shops. Those guys were going in there just to say hello. Some of them were like, what's that? It was great. Hanging out.
But even better, they're coming back and they're winning again.
Well, that's all Paul Maurice cares about right now is like that was great. And nobody had a better time at the celebration than Paul Maurice did. No one. No, I shouldn't say that, but it was right there at the top.
How much do they remember that celebration?
I don't know. I've never had one. I don't know. They don't happen. Like you said, they don't happen a lot.
No. So it's fun to watch them come back and still be that team. So, you know, success hasn't gone to their heads.
No. They're hungry. I think you do it once. You want to do it again. And I think it's good for business because more players.
We need a few other teams around town to get there. You know, we got the soccer team playing playoff game this weekend.
Game three.
Got to win this one.
Have to win this one.
You know, the Heat are kind of flouting. They're an average team right now.
We know their game plan though. They came back with the same group and they're counting on. I mean, that it's kind of not like Pat Riley. Like, all right, we need you guys to be healthier. And we believe in you, but you got to play. And he even put a number. Didn't he say 75 games? 65? I thought he said 75 games.
But yeah, he did put a number on it.
Put a number on it. And then on individuals, he said, you know, I need more. And so we'll see if.
See, what I thought when they brought everybody back, they didn't see a move that would help them over the offseason.
Right.
A good move.
They made one last year with Rozier. Terry Rozier.
You know, when Riley can make a big move, he's throughout his career, he's made one. And I wouldn't discount one during the season, but I'm sure that wasn't plan A to bring everybody back. It just worked out that way.
He's looked at that group and says, if you guys will stay, he called some guys out, Jimmy Butler, and he said, if you guys can stay healthy, we get more. Tyler Herro's another one. It's been
Tyler Herro's playing pretty well.
He's playing great.
Offensively.
You got to see his whole skill set, man. He was playing loose and getting after it. But we'll see. They're in Denver, and we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, the messy story, enter Miami and the guys with them. But
the big headlines are UM and Dolphins this weekend, this long weekend, because it's Monday night game in L.A.
The Monday night game, everybody gets to see. It's the game. And you just can't. So I know what they're thinking. We win this game, we get those two home games. I've said it a couple times this morning, but I do know you don't want to come home 2-7. 2-7, and by the way, you might as well don't try to sell anybody.
You can go 8-1. We can go 8-1 the rest of the way.
No. You go 2-7, no matter what it looks like. You play great, and you lose one like Cincinnati loss or anything else. If you lose that game. Just go home and share it with the people you love. Like, we can still do it because nobody's going to want to hear it. Nobody's going to want to hear, what are you going to say, 2 weeks in a row, we played well, but we lost to the Rams, and they played their ass off, and now we know we've looked. No.
We're the best 2-7 team out there.
You got to get to 3-6, yes. And then you got those two home games, and get to 5-6. I mean, you got the Patriots and the Raiders.
Those are two wins.
Then you got Green Bay, and that's a late night, Thanksgiving night.
I mean, they play Green Bay. They play at Houston, which Houston's up and down this year.
Jets got them.
Yep, Jets got them. So, you know, they have some. San Francisco getting Christian McCaffrey back is not going to be the San Francisco of September.
No.
It
won't be an easy game.
Yeah.
49ers is not going to be an easy game either. No, I'm with you on the – and then the one I don't know about, you seem real confident about, is you got the Jets twice at the end of the year, including last game of the year up there.
Well, I keep hearing the Jets, like you say, the Jets are a great defense. Great defense comes week after week after week.
I was wrong.
They could – that the game you play them, they might play a great game, yes, because they have the talent. But they're a goofy team too.
So that's where you stand on this thing, and everybody knows it. But Monday Night Football is a huge game. And the Rams need it. They're, you know, trying to stay out.
They've
front.
Turned their season around. They got
three wins in a row.
Three in a row.
And got some guys coming back.
They beat Minnesota. I think that was in Minnesota. Not only are they playing better, they got some.
Seattle win in Seattle was a good win, and beating Minnesota was obviously a really good win for them. Just enough to win, and
they got a lot of young talent too, as we've talked. The defense is full of young players, including the young defensive coordinator Shula. It's interesting to see Shula back in the game, but a lot of young guys who
they've drafted the last couple of years,
and that's what great organizations can do: plug them in, and that's the bloodline that keeps it going.
They were not afraid when they got in a mess, when they loaded up. They loaded up for their championship, and they got it. They did it, and they gave contracts, and they did the whole thing, but they won it.
Well, Jalen Ramsey was part of that. I mean, he was part of that team that won, and then they had to unload contracts and people because of just what you're saying, and he was one of them.
And they got together and said, we can build this back through the draft, which everybody says, and then it comes down to it. And, you know, coach got to play the best players, and if the guy you just pick up off the street is better than your draft pick, that's what's going to happen.
But their best player, their draft picks are producing. You look at
they've got some good ones right across the board.
You know, the second round pick, 44th overall, was Fisk. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for losses last week.
The 2 Florida State guys, their first 2 picks, but they've got a handful of guys playing a lot. They got a starting center is a rookie, and so anyway. They've played a lot of games now, and we'll see what happens for Monday night out in Los Angeles, and then of course tomorrow it all kicks off with the big game. Oh my God, we got to go to break here. We got a little old school again there, All Day Dan Day. Let's go right to the Panthers head coach, whose team is playing unbelievable right now. Paul Maurice, coach. Good morning, and thanks for being with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Man, we are doing great. And, Coach, I've been saying for the last few days, that 5-game road streak you guys went on, winning streak, one of the most impressive ones, 3 in the Northeast, come home and then head to Finland and get 2 more that I can remember in a long, long time, the way you guys have played on top of that win last night. How'd you feel about that? Where's that rank for you, those 5 road wins you got in a row?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. I think we had one maybe last year, but a 5-game road streak's pretty good. But style of play more than anything. We had come out of a loss at home to Minnesota before we started that trip and went into New York Rangers. So that was kind of the primer for us. That's the one that got us going. And at the same time, Joe, you know, we started to get a little bit healthy. We had Barkov and Tkachuk out.
That's right.
But also, guys like Thomas Nosek, who we hadn't seen yet this year, and Jonas Gajovic. So we had some guys that were important to the way we play out of our lineup. They started to get healthy as that trip. And then the trips in Finland, those trips can be a great for you or terrible for you, really. And it turned out to be a great thing in part because we have so many Finnish connections in our room, other native Finns or people that played there, both Bill Zito, our general manager, and Robbie Tallis, our goalie coach, that played in Finland. So it was a great trip for us. But you're always worried about the next one. So to come back home after that travel and play as well as we did last night is very satisfying.
Give us a taste of Finland. You know, I saw the interview with you and Peter DeBoer on, I think it was NHL.com. Great. These two guys grew up together, basically, in hockey, and here they are, two of the best coaches in the league right now. But give us a taste of Finland. What stands out for you on your trip, hockey aside, if you...
Yeah. You know what? It was more than that. So the start of the trip, we ended up going to West Point after we had played the Rangers. Mr. Viola, we've got four men here that are graduates of West Point. So the whole team went. We spent the day there. It was just spectacular to see. I mean, so many young people, smart, you know, up at 6 o'clock in the morning, running, working out. The commitment that they've made to this country at such a very young age. But what you're left from that day is the pride of these four men, how proud they were to show us kind of where they came from. And we really enjoyed that. And then it happened to us again. So we go to Finland. We've got the four Finns that play for us. And again, Tuomo Ruut, who's on staff, is a native Finn. We've got the two men that I mentioned earlier that played there. It was kind of their opportunity to show us where they come from. And we really took it all in. The guys had a great couple of days. Tuomo Ruut took the staff to one of his kind of sauna, swim in the Baltic, all the kind of things that are part of the Finnish food. Yeah. And then the timing was just right because we flew there, we took the next day off, and then we got back on the ice. And then to at the end see the appreciation of the Finnish people for their players, for their countrymen. It was really... You know, it's like somebody invites you to a house they just built and they want to show it off, and you're just so happy for them. They're so proud, really happy for Sasha Barkov and all the Finns. They were great hosts. We had a really enjoyable time in a completely selfish way from a coach's point of view. Those moments are invaluable for your group. They're a different group of guys when they come off those trips. They're closer together. They spend all this time together. They got lots of stories, lots of laughter, really good feeling about where our game's at right now. So it was a wonderful cultural kind of excursion.
Coach, it's amazing with all the big name guys, and the names just get bigger the more big games you win in the championship and going to a championship before that they play so well together, not afraid to make the extra pass, and just the way this group plays together when they could, some of these guys could be stars on other teams and just worry about their stats. Is this normal in hockey?
I you know what, this is a special group, and it's the one consistent thing I've said from the day I got the job. You know, I'll tell you the story again. That summer, I called all the players, and I kept getting off the phone and telling my wife, these guys are different. I don't know how to explain it, but they're just different. The way they talk about each other, the way they interact with each other, the personality that you see on the ice is exactly the personality off the ice of these men. The core of it is they work hard, and they work hard every day. So the idea would be to give you kind of a practical application of this. That's a long flight. That's 10 hours. We have an optional skate the next day. And everybody shows up. Every single guy came out for that skate and skated. Then we take a day off. And we're on the ice the day before the Nashville game, and we're going. I mean, we are humping up and down the ice to the point that I know I got to shorten this practice because these guys will just keep working as long as I run this practice. So we shortened it by two drills, cut it right off because they just push. It's who they are. And there's a camaraderie in that work ethic. There's a kind of a trust built every day. I can't remember if I ever had to go to tell a guy, you got to pick it up in practice because you're not going hard enough. They run that. Like, they set that level. Huh. You know, as a new coach, you kind of come in, you bark for a couple of weeks, and then you see where they get to. And these men have been setting that standard here for 2 years. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for the coaches. There's a whole bunch of things that I don't have to do that are pretty standard in an NHL season. You're pulling teeth a little bit, and you're barking, and you're grinding guys, and you're sitting guys and benching guys, just trying to get them to a certain emotional level for the games, and we just haven't had to do that here.
You've said from the start of this season, before the season, there don't use the word hangover. There won't be a hangover. And it's pretty obvious right. There isn't. Why were you so sure that, okay, here we are early November, that it has nothing to do with any hangover?
Yeah, I think it's perspective. And that, well, there's two pieces. First, I was pretty sure because by the time I met the media, I already had the test results. So I knew there's two parts to testing. And the first part is the anecdotal part. You watch them and you see how hard they push. So to give you an idea, like Barkov doesn't have to test particularly well. He's a big, fit man. But when you get on those VO2 max tests or any of those power tests, they're not easy to do. If he puts up a good number, nobody's going to say anything to him. But he pushes himself as hard as he can. I think I've got to mention like Gustav Forsling, who's been our fittest athlete the last 3 years. He got stronger this summer. In a shortened summer, he came back more powerful, faster, in better shape than he's ever been in his life. So that tells you that they enjoyed the cup, but they still got to the gym when they were supposed to, and they still got to that work. So the idea of the hunger, I think that emotional, it's more where's your emotional energy coming from, and if you can't find it, you look like you've got a hangover on the ice. We haven't had that. They were committed before they got here to push as hard as they did. The new guys come in and kind of it's the standard comment, I can't believe how hard these guys work. But that's what, and then, a month later, they're right in there, right with them. They're capable of doing it. So this is really more of a story about how special that room is, how special group of guys we have. And I know that gets used a lot. Hey, we got a really close-knit group. It's beyond that here. I mean, you've probably got seven players in that room that would have gotten more on the open market had they gone there. They took less to be here, to be with each other. And that sacrifice means something. That's an actual investment into the team that they made.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you about Sam Reinhart. The start, he's off to 11 goals, 11 assists. I mean, right off the bat. And I remember during the parade, because I don't follow social media, and he wasn't there. And I was like, oh, man. Well, I wonder, right. Wow, what the hell? Oh, no, come on, man. That guy, what a year. I hope he stays. And he signs, and, he sends out stuff on social media. I didn't see it, Coach, because I don't follow it. But, man, what a start he's off to.
Yeah, he had a very close friend who got married that he had promised he would be there, and he had made a commitment, and everybody here understood that. What's special about this man is that in generating the offense he generates, he never cheats the game to do it. He never makes a play with the idea there's a chance I could get something if it's the wrong. If it's the wrong play, if it's a risky play, if it's not a smart hockey play. So he never cheats the game, and obviously then never cheats his teammates, and everybody respects him immensely for that.
Yeah.
One of the phrases we never hear in hockey is maintenance. We hear it in basketball. We hear it in football. But I'm curious, you guys have played a lot of hockey the last 2 years. How do you tone it? I don't even want to say tone it back, but how do you manage, going into what's going to be possibly another long playoff series?
We don't. And by that, I mean the coaches don't. So we have a whole sports science department, very, very bright men that the players trust with their daily routine. We do measure a lot of things, how they're sleeping, how they're eating, all these kind of things. And there's more scientific ways to measure that than it's not a casual anecdotal measurement. And I find out every day they come in, these guys tell me where the team's at. Yeah, they got a lot of energy. No, we're a little low today. And we tailor everything that we do.
Wow.
That. So to give you a little bit of the specific, we know the load of every practice drill that we run. So we can kind of add up our practice drills and understand how hard we're pushing them that day. The rest of it then is a little bit of experience. After you've been through enough NHL campaigns, when to expect your team to be a little bit tired. We don't skate very much. We're not on the ice in practice. We do use the gym for more controlled kind of maintenance. Is right. We just have each player has his own program, what he needs. Each player is completely different. We guys run very high heart rates. Some guys run low heart rates. They're all different. We have a group of things that they all do together, but it's very individualized. They'll come in this morning and give me a number on where they think they're at. They'll give me a number. I think how hard I should push them. I'll listen to them exactly. We'll go up the ice. We won't be on the ice more than 25 minutes today. We'll have an optional morning skate. And then we are truly trying to conserve energy, but you can only do that if your team is in a fitness level that you are thinking about recovery more than you're thinking about improving fitness levels.
Damn, Coach, did you ever think at this age you'd be into sports science the way you are? I am shocked to hear what you just said. By the way, it's a world we're in. I get it. Sports science is a big part of every team we cover.
Right, and I've got nothing to do with that. So what you need, and I'm not trying to pump tires, what you need is, you know, Mr. Viola is very interested in this. So it's a big part of what he does. Bill Zito went out and find a bunch of really smart men that can run it, guys that have pro experience, but they're also very, very bright, and they work really hard. And the byproduct of that is your players trust them. And once the players trust them, you can really – we're here to take care of these guys is what we're doing. They have earned through their work ethic, through their summer fitness, through their numbers, through their testing, to be looked at more as caretakers. Now, there's a bunch of hard things that we got to do on the ice. We don't bend on those, and we're real serious about them, and it's not an easy place around here if we're not doing what we need to do. Everything after that, though, is really about how do we make our athletes perform at their best, but also enjoy their lives, too. We're not spitting nails here every day.
Yeah.
We want to have fun while we're doing it. But it's really, all of this in the end is driven by the kind of men we have in our locker room.
Amazing stuff, Coach. My gosh, always so great. We really, really appreciate you finding time on this homestand to join us. I really appreciate it. Good luck, Flyers, tomorrow, 6 o'clock. And thank you again for coming on.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Paul Maurice, head coach of the Panthers. I was going to tell him we got our bathrobes on right now. I got you one. You look good in it. I thought you looked better.
I don't know
shape.
Where the bathrobe thing came from. I'm curious. I haven't been out there.
The bathrobes, man. He got bathrobes to go to Finland
for the saunas and all that.
Yeah, and they're ready to go. And they got on this roll, and they're like, let's keep wearing them. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90+ days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.